Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's such BS.
It is.
And insurance is such BS.
They're trying to make, they're trying to assume the fact that we already know their whole campaign. And that we're recognizing Dennis Hayes out at a coffee shop, but it's not happening.
Don't get me started on that little lizard.
Flo?
Where
oh, no, not Flo.
Flo from Progressive. That was funny.
Well, with the Doro Bush podcast health gig, they are having the one and only McDreamy, Patrick Dempsey, on. And I usually produce their show, but I looked at Rob Ford and I said, you have to take this because I will just melt into myself. And I'll do a terrible job and embarrass myself. It would be a disservice to everybody.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
I am ill. I am ill.
Ill.
I am mentally ill. I am ill. I am ill. I am mentally ill. That's okay. I'm not alone. I know other people that go through this too. It's the COVID and everything else. I am having a mini breakdown.
Not really.
That was a great opening number.
Thank you. Thank you
it was
very
good.
Much. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Barn burner.
Yeah. It's very, very nice to have you. We have Madeline
yes.
who is sitting in for where Oscar normally sits.
Yes. This is a historic first. I don't think she's ever really jocked the show before.
Yeah, I've never run the board or paneled before, I don't think. So I'm kind of nervous.
I don't worry about you. I don't know. You are you're just somebody who was a fit for this show from the very, very beginning, and we're lucky to have you. So
thank you.
I don't care. You could screw up all day long. You could destroy the whole show.
Keep the expectations low.
You would come. No, you would come back the next day. I like you too
all
much.
Right.
That's all there is
good to
it.
Know.
So
thank you.
And I should bring up one fact though that I know that some of the times where I will be not on the show, and I've seen that Bloom will be sitting in too, and I kind of feel just a little pang of guilt that Bloom has been kind of left off the docket for my week of hosting with you, Rob. I don't I don't understand why that might
well,
be. Now let me, before you answer.
All right.
Mouth quiet. I have to say that I think it's because there are certain individuals who perceive that I would have problems or that I would get upset if we had Pony Boy paneling, or because didn't you do a show with Oscar where he had a square, where he had a Brady Bunch square?
Yes, I believe we did. That's when we introduced, and we don't have that option today, Reverb Pony. When he had the big
I'm aware
voice.
Of Reverb Pony, but
yeah,
the
he
question
had his box
I have,
that day.
So the who's, because I don't look, I know the show has this sign in back of me where it says my name on it and all that.
Right.
And I know I'm the old fart that has the long career and did a few shows in a major market. And some people said some nice things about the Don and Mike show and
I know
my
you
show.
You love when I say this, Mike. You are a heritage radio talent.
It's very nice to hear that. But but you know what? How about old Donnie? Donnie Simpson kicking ass again after
sure.
all these years. After our friends at CBS, like they did to everybody, boning him, and then
goodbye.
He bounces back and he kicks yeah. ass on another company. I love that.
I do
wanted
too.
Wanted that. Never got that. Yeah. Really wanted that bad. Thought it was going to be magical. Yes, sir. Mike O'Mara on the edge. It would have been if you and Oscar had come with me.
I agree. And there is a little
Mike. We can have Kirk and Shamrock and Oscar and Rob and Mike, and it would have been
that sounds
a killer
like an
show
awfully
and
full
no
boat.
Music.
Seems what? Like an awfully full boat to me. Sometimes, well, Mike, a Shamrock is not lucky. Even if you're Irish, it doesn't always
anyway.
Bring you luck. Sometimes he has a little too much to drink on the way to the concert. And
You never forget that.
Why should I when he got the job that belonged to me?
I understand.
Yes.
I understand that. Let's talk about Pony. Did someone make the decision? Well, we can't have Pony in while Mike's here. He'll have a meltdown.
No, I don't think it was that at all. I think it was that Maddie brings a certain energy and excitement to it and always a great opinion. And Pony...
Wasn't Maddie on with Pony the last time?
Yeah, you can have both of us. Yeah.
I'm just looking out for the emotions of a fragile boy who I think fondly of more than he ever gives me credit for.
But also Pony, when he is off sort of a, and I always equate him to when Dave Letterman used to speak to his director, Hal Gurney. You don't see him, but you only hear him, and only in little pieces. And I think that is
Matt,
using
do you get
Pony
a sense,
to its best.
When I'm talking to Rob sometimes of what I deal with, where Rob does not directly answer
absolutely
any questions.
I get that as
have,
well.
You know?
Yes.
It's like I'm asking why he's not given a box this week at all.
I was thrown the directive from our CEO, Oscar Santana, that Rob Ford would do Monday and Wednesday, and Maddie would do Tuesday, Thursday, Friday.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
and
what about
I got no problem putting Pony on one of the days, but not
today,
certainly.
Well, let's ask Pony how he feels about things. I mean, I'd like to know what his thoughts are.
You know what? I think there's a lot of hatred that gets thrown my way. And you know what? I think Maddie and I have a balance. Like, she's fun and exciting. And I'm more, you know, like, dark and angry. So, I mean, you can't have too much of one thing. You need the yin and the yang.
So what you're telling me, I believe, mm-hmm. is that you would not be averse to having your own box when we do these little gatherings.
You know what? I think having a box might be swell.
That's, you know what? I like that
initiative.
There's
a camera in there if we want
to
turn it on.
Yeah, we could give him a box.
It is possible.
Yeah, do it tomorrow. Do it tomorrow. Or when is Rofo going to be here tomorrow?
Tomorrow is Ford, yes.
Do it Thursday and Friday.
Okay.
Or we'll do it Thursday, and then Friday we'll go back to whatever you had planned for Friday.
Well, let's see how it goes on Thursday, and that will determine
on
Friday.
I didn't say that. I pointedly wasn't going to say, let's see how it goes. I was not going to put pressure into the situation. Seriously, this is one of those rare times where I was actually thinking about the feelings of another individual on the show. Maybe... Because my feelings are so raw this week.
I know.
And
it's
right
tough.
Up at the surface.
It's tough up there. I know. I'm so sorry. It's bad.
No, it's not tough. It's not. This is when I get, if you say it's tough up there, see, when you say that, I'm going to get the emails. Going, oh, I'm really sorry.
No, I don't mean it's tough.
In me, dealing with all this
I don't mean that. You're misinterpreting what I said. What I mean, it's tough sometimes, especially in these crazy COVID-fueled times. Family is a weird thing. I'm going through it myself. A lot of stuff. A lot of weird things. Another time I was yelling with my mom again because we had to blow off a funeral. She says, come on, let's just for a few minutes. I said, it's Terry's sister.
That's just so that you throw that away. It's what, Carrie's sister passed away?
No, Terry, my uncle Terry's sister.
Oh, Terry's sister. I'm sorry. Okay.
No.
Yeah. All right. So,
and so
not particularly close in that
situation.
No,
but she was a tremendously good woman because she was suffering cancer. This is a fun story. She was suffering cancer at the same time as my Uncle George. And they were very much in tune with each other and sort of a support network. And she lived about a year longer than my Uncle George did. And it was very appreciated by my side of the family that she was there for him. And it would have been great to go there and show support to my Uncle Terry. And I said, but Sharon, we can't. It's not safe yet. We can show support without showing up to the funeral. And she says, but just for a few minutes. I said, do you remember in high school when they said, everyone you kiss, you're kissing everyone they've ever kissed? That's what's happening at
the
funeral.
No, you have every right. Look, I would, a church service of any kind, wedding or funeral, I would not have anything to do with it. So I'm with you on that one.
And it's just, right? You know, it's you get, there's no one I love more than my mother. And it's a very strange familial relationship when you feel you have to raise your voice to someone that not only you love, but is your parent because you want to set
them
straight.
And you've been there before with your mom where you're stressing to her the seriousness of the issue at hand. There is a particular nurse's video, I think I mentioned it on the show yesterday, maybe not, where she did a video diary and she passed away due to COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And it was another, you know, fat person like me.
Sure.
And it was horrifying to watch. I think that You know what? There is going to be so much Monday morning quarterbacking on this COVID situation where I will look back on this. There's nothing we could do. I'm not taking, you know, I am not taking any of the response. This is leadership, leadership, leadership. This is everybody involved. There have been so few deep dives into what this really looks like. I really don't think there's been nearly enough. When you think of what people go through when they get this, we just didn't. We put charts up and we talked about numbers and we talked about masks and we talked about, you know, you're 10 times more likely to get a viral video of someone who is ranting about wearing a mask than you are to get any kind of thing like that video diary of that woman who passed away, where you look at that and you see her face and you see the,
see the decay,
see how serious this is. We are a visual culture now. We need to see what this is like. This could have been done so differently to stress the import to the little minds out there or the brainwashed minds out
there.
That's
how you have to
get
to
wanted
them.
To pretend that this was a hoax. It's still
here.
I will look back in 2020 and say to myself, how did this happen? How did we politicize this? Of all the things. And by the way, if we can politicize this, anything can be politicized.
You're right. You're right.
Anything.
If we go back to the very beginning, it seems to me we had about a week to a week and a half of when we would get like an oral history, people describing the horrors of being on a ventilator. What's it like as you're actually suffering?
I disagree. I think it was more like the frontline doctors that were telling the story. It didn't have the same impact. I watched, and by the way, I didn't need video to know.
No.
I saw numbers early on. But there was one particular shot. It was a shot of somebody where they were removing an intubation tube. They were changing intubation tube. And they pulled out what looked like it looked like Roto-Rooter. They were pulling out the matter that was involved in it. It was so horrifying. And I looked at that and said, "This is what people are doing." And then I just it wigs me out. So with your mom, I get it that you want to scream for you're screaming for the right reasons.
She came to agree, but she's got a long life of love and respect for family members, and it's hard to
So they're not doing
that.
A virtual funeral.
No, they had a get-together with distancing and people arriving over a period of time, but still, it's not worth the risk. I don't feel it's worth the risk.
Because
you can call, and you can write, and you can send flowers, and you can show concern in other ways. You talk about the fact that they're not covering the horror of what happens when you get the... But yet they love... Could you live the rest of your life without seeing another Karen video? I'm done with them. I don't need to see people mad about that because it's not what it's
for
about.
For people that might not know, explain the nature of the Karen video. Explain for people.
You're right. It's invariably a middle-aged woman who has been caught on a cell phone video ranting about social distancing, not wanting to wear a mask.
Is somebody who's being an ass in like a grocery store.
Exactly.
Like
and challenging authority normally.
A Karen can be a man too, right? A Karen can be a man like that dude down at the Costco down in Florida where I live.
Exactly.
My Costco down there.
And I'm not sure exactly how they got the name Karen for it, but it's become sort of a buzzword in this time. And every day it's, here's a Karen video and she didn't want to wear a mask at the grocery store and she's yelling and she's ranting. Well, you know, when you do that, even though you're calling them out in a way, you're sort of celebrating it. We need to get the message out. And again, even me who was arguing against it, I felt bad that we weren't going to the funeral, but you just can't. It's just, you know, it's really, you're trying to undo a culture that we've been living our entire life. And you need to realize we got to tighten our belt. It's okay not to go to bars. It's okay not to go to restaurants. Are you calling Karen?
No, I get it. No, I'm calling my sister.
Oh, okay.
Because you had mentioned she wants to come on the show.
Yeah, tomorrow. We have her booked. She could. Can she run board? She could get her own box instead of Maddie or Rob Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Mike, you know why she's not answering? It's Tuesday.
What's that?
She's playing tennis.
All right.
Remember? That's the reason we couldn't book her for today.
Okay. All right. Oh, is that what it is? That what it is?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I get that. You know that better than I do. I like that your memory works that way. I think that you would mention Katie Powers. Having a dark night too. I think my look, I stand by all my, I put it on my show prep as far as we all want to fit in, and sometimes you just have to admit you really don't, and then you have to deal with it. But that everything that's my angst when I come up here has probably been compounded by the circumstances.
Well, it doesn't
and
help,
the feeling
certainly.
Of lack of control and COVID and all that. And I think that we're going through a real, real mire right now where there's not exactly a clear light at the end of the tunnel. And and so people probably are going through funks. Things that would normally be their normal problems are magnified. And you talked about Katie Powers having a little meltdown with you about cake and cookies.
I got a text from her Saturday, and we'll get into this later, I'm sure. But I had what I would like to call a rare weekend where a lot of bad things sort of all came together. And then Saturday night, I was sitting down to have a drink because that always helps, and I get bing.
Does it really help?
Well, I would be averse to comment the other way because I don't ever not drink. So I'm just counting on that's the right thing to do. I get a text from Katie, and it says, I need to do a show. If that's not something, this is regarding cake and cookies. If that's not something you can do moving forward, then we need to call it off. I get it if you don't want to feel fun or funny, and my heart goes out to that. But if you think we can no longer bring joy,
right,
then we need
right
to...
Stop right there. I have lots of questions, and we can deal with it here.
Okay.
I'm fine with that. We have plenty of time. I need to ask you about that. So had you indicated to her that you didn't feel funny or fun and you didn't feel like doing a show?
At one point, there was a lot of stumbling blocks that have prevented us. Eventually,
it's not the answer I asked.
It is true. At one point,
at any point that you didn't feel fun or like doing
I said, I don't feel like doing it. I don't feel like I can be a lot of fun today. I don't feel like doing it. We didn't. And then she says, if you think we can no longer bring joy, then we need to make a fist and call it quits. And I had never, ever wanted to call it quits on cake and cookies. I just didn't feel like doing it. But since it was such a great night of such a great day, I said, I'm not even going to deal with this right now. We're done. Thanks. This is just about this.
How did you communicate that to her?
I did not reply. I just said, because you know what?
In your own mind, you said, I'm not going to deal with this right now.
Right. There was other things at play that were more impactful to me. So she texted me yesterday.
Like the moving of the records?
That and also Julia and the whole school thing with Julia.
Which we will get to later.
Okay. Yeah.
Because that's
but the
a
moving
big
of
deal.
The records is a pain in the ass, too. It's the worst job ever. But I spoke to Katie yesterday, and she says, you didn't reply to the text. I said, you know what? We had Tony on today. If he can do a show after 26 months, let's do a show. Let's do one this weekend. So,
all right, we're going to do a cake and cookies thing. You never liked doing it.
Like, no, that's not true.
No. And I'm not saying that. You enjoyed doing the show with her, but the actual responsibility of doing the show has never been something you like.
Well, it's something that... It can be postponed because there's other stuff that is more immediately required at all times. And so sometimes it's easy to postpone it. But it's never been a drag to do the show. And it's just a matter of making
a fist. Well, of course it's a drag to do the show because you don't want to do the show.
Well, I didn't want to do
it. Don't do the show. Of course it's been a drag to do the show.
But we're going to do one this weekend. But the reason that I bring it up is she says, oh, yeah, about the text. I'm sorry about that.
Hold on. You're moving away. Stop.
All right,
C-blocking me when I'm trying to get to the crux of the matter here. Mm-hmm. I'm asking you about the show and about your psyche and about the real Rob, and I want to know what... So it just was... I mean, the show when it started was a weekly show.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then it became what?
Semi-weekly.
And by the way, please tell the audience, it's not you... Or Katie, I don't even listen to this show.
That's true. That's very true.
When I do a show, the land of podcasting, it's just not, it's not what I do. And I probably would do better to listen to more of them because then I might even involve people in the medium. I would be supporting the medium more. But I just don't, because I put a lot into this, and when this is done... I'm off to play with my kid or read a book. I mean, that's
kinda, understandable.
Or play around at 18. That's what I do. But at the same time, so you did it. Give people the history of when
Cake and Cookies started, probably 4 or 5 years ago, and it was a weekly thing.
Three or four people listening to this are going to really care about this discussion.
This is, and take notes. And that was when Katie and Dan were living in the Washington, D.C. area. And she'd come over and we'd do it once a week. And it was, you know, a scheduled thing. Then they moved to Savannah and we had to sort of retool the show. And we were doing it via Skype and we got that worked out. Then she had jaw trouble and right. she was told not to talk for any extended period of time. So even though we did those occasionally against doctor's orders, then when we actually, I rebuilt the studio here, this was when COVID started, and because of that, I couldn't record via Skype with her. So I had to buy a new piece of equipment, and I did that oh, yeah. in April or so. It's called oh, yeah. People know it's a Scarlett. It's a digital interface. It allows the computer to talk to the board.
Don't give a damn.
Yeah, we're going to make a new episode of Cake and Cookies. But then,
how racist is this film that nobody wants to see anymore? And then everybody bought all the copies of it. Yeah, sold more than any before because you tell Americans something racist, they're gonna snap it right up.
Oh, they love it. They love it. And so
a lot of roadblocks, but. But, yeah. but even when you had the technology, and even before the jaw thing, it was right. not a consistent product.
No. But when we did it, we always
there
had a good
no
time.
There was no political persuasions.
No. No, no. Not
no,
at all.
No, we did it, and we did it, and we did it. And then when we decided it wasn't the juice wasn't worth the squeeze, which was right. both revenue and listenership,
yeah.
We pulled the plug on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that Chris knew... And I know I would open the door to doing another political show pre-election or around the debates with.
Do
Chris
you think
Frakes.
You have? Do you have enough to talk about though on that? Now
I would be more than willing to do a political persuasion. But when it's not there,
yeah.
because people are burned out on politics, it's very frustrating. So I don't know. I don't know about that. But we went. That's it with cake yeah. and cookies. It was. You wouldn't do one. You wouldn't do one like months at a time. Then somebody give you crap. I might come on the show and give you right. crap about doing it. And you'd do one. You know,
people but, have mean, been amazingly. Like you were, no, but you're right. You're right. But people have been amazingly supportive. It is a fun show to do. I love talking to her. And sometimes, like even yesterday, the phone call we had was maybe 15, 20 minutes. It was. Mm-hmm. It felt like we were doing that show. And so we're going to do one this week and we'll have it for you next week. And we're going to get back in the habit of it because I think probably as this show is good therapy for you, probably another outlet, probably good therapy for both of us, too. Just talk
so
about
the
what's
idea
going on.
Of not feeling funny or feel like doing the show when you would say that to her, which obviously struck a chord with her. So right. that when she went through her depressive period, she yes. came back to you and said, then I think we just ought to pull the plug on it. What caused you? What was the time frame for you saying, I don't feel like doing a
It
the
was
show?
Dead in the middle of the pandemic. And it's just right. sometimes, you know, it grinds on you. It really does. And
you've been dealing, you know, we won't go into details, but you've dealt with a lot of crap this past year as well, yeah. which I know about. And, you know, and it's not always fun. And so I certainly could get
and
that.
And I probably misthought it because what's the best part of my day is doing this. This
well,
is what's
I
fun.
Find it. Yeah, it's you look, I swear to God, it is not a joke where. There's a reason I'm here at my age right now doing this is mm-hmm. because I don't think I'd want to do anything else.
Yeah.
And I mean, that is in the realm of what I do. That's like, you know, I've said to people before, would you get back? Would you take another corporate radio gig, a regular corporate radio, perhaps syndicated gig? I said,
right.
It would have to be an amazingly large suitcase.
Yeah.
But I don't think that even that I would be miserable. I would be, whereas coming in here when I did the show yesterday and I was able to purge and talk about my feelings, even when we're not trying to be funny, it's an outlet just to
absolutely
scream about the world and do that. And I think that people, thank you, Jesus, our listeners have kind of tracked with that and that's okay. So that's why, but that's me more than you and more than even Oscar. So I never get a chance to really hone in on you and your feelings about the world.
I need to rethink it because if this is an outlet that makes me feel good for an hour and a half every day, which it does, always love it. I need to maybe think that, you know, an additional hour a week with Katie, which would be a different presentation, but yet another outlet
there
is probably
now
a
we're
good
on
thing.
To something. I'm glad we started talking about this because I think that because
it's definitely
related,
a different show. It's a different show than this, certainly.
I read an article that Howard Stern came on his show and said that Ellen DeGeneres should go back on the air and be just a total dick. And that was just so funny. First of all, it's Howard being Howard, and sure. That's just funny. But at the same time, I thought about that. Maybe if you did not feel that the Cake and Cookies show was, there was a responsibility to be so fluffy and light and giggly and all that, and you came in and you both really laid it out there on the line, I think, you know, we talked about that. And if you popped a few promos on this show about that, where you really got heavy, who cares?
Well, we've done it.
It's good for you, right?
We've done it, and actually the reason
you've gotten
is
heavy talking on that show.
Oh yeah, we've talked death. Okay. We've talked a whole bunch of stuff. We got very into the fact that
you love death. You've been a fan of death for a long time.
Been
you
prepping for it for years.
Yes.
But the reason that Katie, she apologized. She says, "Oh yeah, that text. I was on a new painkiller, and I was in a very dark place. I didn't really mean what I said in those. I said,
well, tell her to get that out of. If she's in a dark place because of medication, get that out of the cabinet. Oh,
it's the beautiful thing when she hates. She no one hates better than her. But
she's
a
phenomenal hater. Absolutely that night, one of the greats. Yeah, that's how she came on my show to start.
That's exactly right. That's right.
And I hate Katie's, you too. Remember Katie's that. What is with these people?
But she said, yeah, I wanted to tell you about that. Before I went to bed Saturday night, I told Dan I hated him. That's her husband. They have about the best marriage you've ever seen. And the first thing he said to her the next morning.
Hold on a second. That marriage is predicated on her living her life and he goes to bed.
No,
I've been in that home. I've been in that home. What, his or hers?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, they both. Right. I remember one time when I was staying down there and I brought a gift to them, a lovely bottle of rye. And at one point the evening, I turned to Dan. I said, another drink? And he said to me, and I quote,
I will say this regarding that.
Yes.
I know, Carl, if you're listening to me, I appreciate the understanding because I know I have been Johnny bipolar this week. I know that I've been driving you nuts. I'm aware of that, and I will try to do better. I swear to you, I will try to do better.
Yeah,
but I know I had a moment.
I had a moment. I think it was Friday when Carrie said, "Do you have any plans tonight? Or are you just going to sit there and look miserable?" I said, "That's about it."
Well, we need to talk later in the week. We will cover this. All right. I have it on my show prep today.
Right.
All right. It's the idea of has Rob turned into a hermit? That is something that I've become aware of with all the openness between you and me and Carrie and Carl and all that and Oscar and all that. Everybody knows about your world a lot more like that. And you, we're going to, you know what we're going to do with you? We're going to come up with a plan. We're going to come up with a plan because I think one of the things with you.
I'm not going to a funeral.
No, but and it's tough. I know it's tough in the COVID times, but later in the week, I seriously think you need to have a something. You need to have a something. You need another outlet. I'm not telling you to get another job and supplement your. I'm not trying to tell you how to live your life.
I just need a something.
You need a something. We all need a something. One of the problems I have up here is I go a little squirrely because I don't have my outlet to do what I love to do. And I hate riding my bike. I hate it, hate it, hate it. I know it's good for me, but I hate riding a bike. Everybody rides a bike. All the old people ride bike.
No, there's the lady in the orange vest that you almost kill.
Oh, God almighty. Sally. Hi, Sally. How are you?
Sneaking Sally through the alley.
Sally. All right, we got to start the show. This was productive. It was healthy.
It was.
I like the vibe here. This is not a phony vibe. This is more of a real vibe. Our relationship is evolving on the air, Rob.
I agree.
This makes me feel good. This makes me feel calm. And Maddie, just seeing your face, comparing it to Oscar's, is an improvement right there.
Oh, I'm
glad.
Just
because you look like you're engaged and you're not bored and you're not texting and doing all that. I mean,
can you imagine how this segment would have been if while we had these wonderful moments, we'd been staring at Pony?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Maybe you're right. Pony, do you have anything to add to that?
You know what? Maybe I don't feel like being on Thursday.
Start the show. It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
First of all, I'm an old man, you know? I'm like 312 or something like that. I'm trying to get score going again. I feel that Lincoln, when he thought that up, he thought that was going to go. You know what I mean? Like, his wife was like, why don't you just say 87? He's like, why don't you shut the f*** up? Last I checked, I was the orator in the family. And you were the f***ing insane lady. It's a 87. Believe me, score is going to catch on big time. It never did. I ate a pork chop. I don't want to brag or anything like that. But it's in my belly right now as we speak. And I realize that you eat at a restaurant different than you eat at home, you know? Like at home, you would never cook up a pork chop on your skillet, you know, and make it nice and hot on one side, then turn it over, make it hot on the other side, and then cut into it, see how it's going in the middle there. And then you go, man, I'm gonna love eating this delicious pork chop as soon as it's hot enough to eat, I'll eat it. But while I'm waiting, I'm gonna eat a big loaf of bread. Who would do that? I have like 35 pats of butter and I'll eat that loaf of bread. And that will get my appetite sharpened up for the pork. I don't know if you guys are history buffs or not, but in the early part of the previous century, Germany decided to go to war. And who did they go to war with? The world. It had never been tried before.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show.
Glad to have you along on a terrific Tuesday.
We're heard all over the place from Beargrass, North Carolina, Myersville, Maryland. Our heart goes out to the folks up in Maryland dealing with that horrible explosion yesterday.
Oh, my God,
Port Bolivar, Texas, Rutgersville, Virginia, Central South Carolina, and Islamabad in Pakistan.
Or we used to have a guy on the show who said Pakistan.
Pakistan. Who
Pakistan.
Said that on the show?
I.
Oh, he did. Pakistan. Yeah. Pakistan.
If you ever really want to bring joy to your life, watch Norm MacDonald's appearances on Conan. Not when he's doing stand-up, but when he's doing desk. Because he'll tell a joke that's 15 minutes long, and right. It's not funny, but you laugh 1,000 times while he's telling it. There's no
style.
Better guess. Oh, he's so great. So
our
great.
Show today brought to you by Cornerstone. If your mortgage is 3.25% or higher, might even be a lower number than that right now. When's mm-hmm. the last time you chatted with old Mark Livingstone and all those good folks downstairs?
Actually, as in talks with Joe Rogers about our own mortgage here at Casa de Spiewak this week.
Hey, how about that? I might mm-hmm. need to talk to him, too. I don't know. I mean, I just got a mortgage, so I'm not sure. Call my friend Mark Livingstone at Cornerstone First Financial. You need to do it today because the rates are great. And Cornerstone First Financial's rates are so low, they've actually become a disruptor in the industry because their rate, service, and programs are unparalleled. Stephanie Loftus, I know that name for a long time. She's been listening to our show. Here's her quote. Stephanie is feeling grateful. I just got off the phone with Joanna. She's the one that handled mine.
Yeah, handled yours.
At Cornerstone First Financial. We are refinancing in California at 2.99%, and it doesn't get any better than that. I told them Mike O'Mara's show crew feels like family to me. Thank you for having such amazing advertisers. Proud of this one. We say it all the time because they're local. We don't have them. And that's it. We do national advertising primarily on this program. And by the way, we'll take anybody. No, I'm kidding. No, we love Cornerstone First Financial. It's great. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or online at cornerstonefirst.com. Think of this. At this level, you'll likely never need to refi again. So whether
that's
it's a
so
purchase
awesome.
Or refi, 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing. We have a short break here, so I just wanted to
Got
get
to.
This off my chest.
Yeah.
Pet peeve, if anybody's aware of this, I'm not going to give you great detail on this. I'm just going to lay it out there because I hate it, and I don't even know the commercial. But there's the commercial with the president from 24.
Yes.
I think it's Allstate. I think he does Allstate, but
I'm
not
right.
sure.
I think you're right.
And
My pet peeve, though, is they've got him going into places now and getting recognized as the guy from the commercial. And yes. It's a commercial for the same company that's making. My pet peeve, insurance companies that do commercials making a big deal about their own commercials.
Yes.
So you put a commercial out, you buy a lot of ad time, then you make another commercial going, oh, that's that guy that's so scary famous. They've done it. It's not the first time they've done it, but it pisses me off that they do that because they have so much money that they do. I love him. He's a great guy.
Dennis Haysbert.
Good pitchman.
Yes.
Dennis Haysbert. Haysbert?
Yes.
Haysbert.
Haysbert. It's pronounced, oh, they have a pronounce here. Dennis Habersen.
Slagging lady.
I think it's
Haysbert. So the commercial is the guy going out in like regular life, and then
is he like,
says,
he's like in a coffee shop, right?
That's the 10% discount guy. That's the 10%. Everybody's saying, oh, because he's so scared. It's such BS.
It is.
And insurance is such BS.
They're trying to make. They're trying to assume the fact that we already know their whole campaign. And that we're recognizing Dennis Haysbert out at a coffee shop, but it's not happening.
Don't get me started that little lizard
Flo.
Where they?
Oh no, not Flo.
Flo from Progressive. That was funny.
Flo, the governor,
the very safe Flo.
Yeah, like you're talking about the governor employment in insurance company Geico.
My father was in the insurance advertising business
right
for 35 years. He was a copywriter. He wrote the jingle, P.S., P.S., P.S. means personal service. You may not have ever heard of it.
Well, that might be regional, but it's catchy. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whatever. So it was...
he didn't write the song about the people and the girls in Europe that were naked, though. That was written for
over
him.
Over there, over there, with the girls who are naked but bare. Our wild Irish Bill, his thoughts were, he was so beloved by the people he worked with. I have that somewhere. I know I do.
Like on an audio tape or a...
Yeah, I don't know. God,
if you find it, I can restore it for you. I'd be delighted to restore it for
it's
you.
Somewhere I'm a bit...
You know, I got to say, last week I restored a Doc Severinsen LP from 1962 that was toast. And I got it. I'm going to send you it. It's so good. It is
really?
Just blaring brass. There's only like maybe two burns on the whole album, but I worked on it for a good while. And
how do you
love
restore
it.
A vinyl album?
You first of all, you make a wave copy of it, just raw.
Oh, so it's you digitally restore.
Yeah, right. And then I go through and I brighten the EQ and I de-click and de-pop.
Could
and,
you do that for people?
Yeah.
Like if somebody wanted a now you
well
make
you know
it,
I've done stuff with 78s before, right? I mean I
yeah,
went through
but
a whole
I'm
era.
Thinking if they can do your memories with
Legacy Box
with Legacy Box,
I would love have a to restore audio. Yeah,
restored audio.
I would
what
love
think,
to
Maddie?
Do that.
That's his thing now. We already came up with it before the end of the week.
That's
my
cool.
thing. I've
that's
got a thing now.
Yeah.
Yes.
That would allow you to stay hermit-like and stay in your home and do that.
But no, I would still have to maybe mail. All I right. could get Robert to do that.
What was I talking about? I completely forgot my turn.
Insurance.
You're talking about insurance and
restoring. So getting
back
to these insurance commercials. For example, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
I hate that one. Mm.
Well, but it's just pounded on you constantly.
I know.
And when I watch a lot of golf on TV, and that's all I see are these insurance companies again and again and again.
Well,
I see enough
targeted
of Flo
audience there,
and the toad or
lizard
or the salamander that's on all the time without having to have a commercial to add on a commercial where you're telling me how scary popular the guy is. That's a commercial because he doesn't do anything. He's not entertaining anyone. He's sitting out in a chair in the middle of a four-way intersection and people are driving by him. He's not doing anything special like he did when he was on 24 as the president. So don't stop it. Insurance companies. Stop
quit
doing
it.
And here's the thing. You have so much money and there's so many people that are funny and creative. How about instead
something,
of the
something.
Prime directive, and by the way, the prime directive, is pound that name. Pound that name. You know, 15 minutes could save you 700% or whatever their thing is that they want to say. And they pound it into you, and they pound it into you, and they pound. We know a thing or two because we've been there. They pound that. Constant, constant guy. Slug line, pound. Frequency,
pound.
Frequency.
Yeah.
How about how about just really creating something so special that we would wait with great anticipation for your commercial breaks?
They can't. There's the same on Channel 5. I watch the Channel 5 local news every morning. That's my buddy in the morning. And during the commercial break, they run the same spot twice with a commercial between it. And it is a frumpy British lady for WeBuyHouses.com. And she, we buy it sight unseen. We'll buy it anyway. We'll buy it. And it's so nothing that I look at it and my jaw dropped because they're putting all the focus into the Super Bowl now.
It's moved into the Super Bowl. The commercials were infinitely funnier 20 years ago with the Super Bowl when they were starting, when it became the thing. So to all those people that have, and by the way, I try occasionally to make our commercials a little lighter. I do.
Yes.
I do. But I'm not Geico, okay? And I think if you're buying those, I'm talking not radio, I'm talking about television. Because I have a limited amount of frequency here to tell you about our fine sponsors. That's my relationship. I'm talking about if you got $6 billion in your advertising budget, come up with something funny. And don't make jokes about that. Oh, it's so scary funny because they're all excited about the guy that does the commercial for Allstate. Is it Allstate?
And you know what? It shouldn't be an in-joke. Your commercial should not be an in-joke.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Don't be too it for the room, all right?
Thank you. Do the insurance companies get that? That's it. That's what I wanted to say. We'll talk to Matty Masiello after we come back. What?
That's Doc Severinsen.
The album?
Yeah.
Listen, he could play the horn, baby.
The best. That. That's 1962, Doc.
Man can play.
I'll send you this album.
He's still alive?
Yes, and still touring.
What, at like 90?
I think he's 92.
That's awesome. Doc Severinsen. We'll take a break. Come back with more fun and thrills on the Mike O'Meara Show, everybody.
It's Tony and Gary.
Hi.
Hey, boys and girls. It's me, Tony Perkins.
And it's me, Gary Stein. Surprise.
We've done another episode of the Tony Perkins Show starring Gary Stein.
We talked to Tony about something that happened during the pandemic that almost changed his life.
We talk about that. We talk about Rob Ford's wedding.
And we play a brand new game on this episode.
Yes.
Is Stein doing a different delivery?
It's slower, yeah.
I play it again. I'm sorry. Give him another.
You're from the top or from where we left?
I'll shut up. Top. Play from the top.
All right. Very good. I thought it sounded a little slow. Maybe relaxed is the word we're looking for.
It's Tony and Gary.
Hi.
Hey, boys and girls. It's me, Tony Perkins.
And it's me, Gary Stein. Surprise.
We've done another episode of the Tony Perkins Show starring Gary Stein.
We talked to Tony about something that happened during the pandemic that almost changed his life.
We talk about that. We talk about Rob Ford's wedding. And we play a brand new game on this episode of the Tony Perkins Show starring Gary Stein. You can get it at TonyPerkinsShow.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
The Tony Perkins Show.
The new game is called Hurry Up, Gary.
I'm Gary Stein. Anyway, welcome back to the Mike O'Meara, brought to you at Mike O'Meara Show. Let's get together with Mike O'Meara. This portion of the program brought to you by Features. Little things can make big differences. For example, I never gave my socks a lot of thought until I tried Features. Features has engineered a sock with targeted compression, anatomical design, and moisture-wicking material for unsurpassed performance. I love them. And how about this? A lifetime guarantee. Features are so durable and long-lasting that if you're unsatisfied at any point, they'll give you a replacement pair, no questions asked. I love the way they stay in place, no bunching or sliding down into your shoe. It reduces discomfort and prevents blisters so I can focus on my golf game. They really are better. And I love the left-right deal. Oscar and I were talking about that. That's such a big deal to me. It's very cool.
For someone who's OCD, to know which foot goes in which sock,
it's a better fit.
Great. It is.
It's a better fit.
It is. Yeah.
They give it some thought. That's what I love about Features. Family owned since 2002. I love them. Features socks will change how you feel about socks forever.
Ever, Maddie.
Ever.
Forever.
Tiffin.
Hey, are you the Features guy? Yeah, I am. You can get $10
because we've
off
worn a soccer too.
You can get $10 off your first pair of Features. That's F-E-E-T-U-R-E-S when you use code TMOS at features.com. That's F-E-E-T-U-R-E-S.com. I'm spelling it twice, even though I don't have to because I like them so much. Promo right. code TMOS after features.com for $10 off your first pair of Features. Suck it to me, baby, with Features. That's Rob Spiewak throwing a line in from the 1960s.
I want to bring it back, baby. I want to make it cool again, like Norm Macdonald in the word score.
We talked to Maddie Pirelli. Thank you for everything you do, and thank you for coming
best.
In here. And thank you for dealing with our very difficult year during this pandemic, where we're all kind of living the same world here.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's interesting that when I think about you, I will tell our listening audience what I know about you. I know that you are living in a horrible sin with your boyfriend,
yes, straight
John.
To hell.
And have been for a while. I know that you
do. You know that. To add to that, do you know that things are have to be very carefully worded when she visits with her grandparents?
Oh yeah, Joan doesn't know, and we can't tell her because she'll be very upset.
Oh well, I get that,
Grandma Joan.
Grandma Joan. Yeah.
I remember with my mom when one of my either my niece or nephew were being baptized in the Episcopal Church. I remember it was like I remember sitting at the kitchen table and my mom doing one of these. you know, like that. But so, but I'm just telling you what I know about you. So I know the John thing. Mm-hmm. Then I know the mayor. Your father was the mayor of Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And then I know that you have a big Italian family. And I know you love Buffalo. You like going back to it. Mm-hmm. I have a best buddy, Jimmy Cerrito, who loves Buffalo.
Good people.
There are a lot
good
of people, from they're from that area. People are very tied in, very connected.
The Chubbuck family
the
has ties in Buffalo. And
really?
From the Supper Club. And I said to the Chubbucks, do you know Anthony Masiello? He's the best! I love
He's
him.
He's the best. I got another buddy down at where I play golf that's a new guy down there. He's a Buffalo guy that is another cool guy. Another nice guy with a great attitude. And so let me see. Other than Manny Masiello, other than that, I would say between Rob and Oscar and the person who knows you the least.
Probably.
I know from you on the show. They probably know more
well,
about
also,
you.
Also, you're distanced. Distanced. You've never lived in the area when she was part
By
of the
design.
Show.
By design.
Of course. Yes.
Anyway, I'm sorry. No, that's
and
terrible.
Court order. But other than
know.
That.
I think there might be longevity with not having me around every day. I think that I may have added a few years to everybody wanting to do this thing by not coming
I don't
in
know.
A
I miss,
crappy mood or something
I
like that.
Miss
Although
coming
I never
to
came
your
back.
Home.
Nothing's different from me coming in on this show, really, than if I'm in a pissed off mood, you'll know it online. If it's, if I come in just like, look, truth be told, I don't really do that often. I react very hot if I feel I've been wronged or something's been screwed up really pointedly or neglected. But other than that, on a day-to-day basis, it's pretty straightforward, right? We all come in and kind of say hello to each other and off. Mm-hmm.
But it's not the same. I miss our little pre-show talks in your kitchen back in days of old. Those were always fun. Those were.
The Manassas stuff was fun. That was fun when we would do that. And it was also fun having more get-togethers. And when the rules have changed. After we come out of this stuff, there's going to be... we're going to be clamoring to get everybody together and get together with the listeners as well. How we do that, I am praying that 2021 at some point will allow us to do it. Who would have thought when this all hit that we'd be talking like that? When
I know.
It would be a given mm-hmm. that 2021 was when we were going to do stuff. But getting back to you, Maddie. So you're a young woman. You join this band of misfits online, and you're here every day. I don't even know where to start when I'm talking about the idea of doing this show with us every day. There had to be something, and I'm not fishing here, but I'm just asking legitimately. There had to be something that clicked with your idea of staying on after an internship and continuing besides just the gig, because the gig itself is it's a big bowl of okay, but I'm
huge.
Just, Yeah. What are the things that you, what do you like about your job is I guess what I'm saying, because I've heard that you do like it.
Well, I think when it all started, it was kind of like the precipice of Podcast Village. So I think a lot of it was, I'm going to start here with the show, but there's going to be so much more kind of that's going to happen with it. And mm-hmm. I think also, like everyone kind of, I mean, they took the time in me and like invested in me to learn video. I didn't know stuff like that before. Mm-hmm. And kind of changing the whole, you know, way we record here.
So the idea of taking up with this show, you're telling me, was the knowledge that you wouldn't have to be here very long.
Exactly.
Is that what
yes.
it is? Yeah.
Well, all of this is a lie. The real reason she stuck around is when we figured out she sounded just like the lady from Serial.
Yes.
And so we could use her for promos.
Well, you know I love writing promos, Rob.
Oh, God, so. Like pulling teeth. Yeah. Like pulling teeth.
On the show each and every day, how are you holding up with the whole COVID thing? That's really, I'm not going to give you any more crap about the show. I'm just curious about how you are handling it and how everything's going in your world. As a person who is 357 years younger than me, how are you and your wonderful beau handling things?
Pretty good. I think at the beginning, I just had a ton of mental breakdowns. And I think a lot of it was being worried kind of about my family and everything, especially like right. my dad and my grandma. And then I just realized that I have no control over them because they just do really whatever they want.
I remember early on, they were laughing and going to parties.
Yeah.
And you were saying, Dad, not okay. We're going to be fine. Yeah.
I think,
yeah,
so they did that think
they're invincible. I don't know.
They did bits on old people. Not taking it seriously. The people down where I live didn't take it seriously. And I'll never be able to figure that out. I would think it would be the opposite, that you'd be more careful.
Exactly.
And I'm wondering if I didn't have a 7-year-old, if I would have been the same way. Hey, who cares? No, I would have cared about it.
You would
have. I have a strong self-preservation. Were they kind of blowing it off at the beginning of this thing?
A little bit. But I think what really was helpful, like if my family didn't live in New York State for all of this, I think I would have gone a lot more crazy, because at least we had, you know, somebody who shut everything down. And then it helped with Buffalo's numbers, because, you know, they stopped it soon enough so that there wasn't like a huge spread. And now New York's doing pretty well. So very thankful for that.
Pretty amazing for where they were and where they are now. A big W for Andrew Cuomo and what he's done, and his press conferences were enlightening. I thought at the beginning, one of the few people that was out there saying the things that needed to be said. I love that. And but it's different when you're upstate. It's different politically when you're upstate too.
Yeah, for sure. But Buffalo's a little bit kind of more like New York, but everything surrounding Buffalo is like very rural, very upstate. Yeah. You know, kind of that way of thinking.
I mentioned this. I was going to mention it yesterday for my politics up here. In the wilds of Maine, let me just say, I'm rooting for a particular team, and I'm seeing a lot of yard signs for the other team. And I'm seeing flags, big flags.
They're always
I don't
big
know.
Flags.
I don't want to. I said this yesterday. I don't
well, big is good. Big is smart. Big is effective.
Well, yeah, it's a bright. Look, I've always been a believer. Show the colors.
Yeah, okay? Of course. Yeah,
show the and really, if you were basing it on that. We'd have a winner up here, at least in the state of Maine. It's kind of goofy.
Well,
but,
maybe he could be governor.
Well, we had him. We had him light as governor here with that. So you were worried about your family. And I think you get to know your partner when you're in this situation. How has that gone?
My quarter life crisis, I think, happened during quarantine as well.
Quarter life. The 25 year crisis.
Yeah, you know what's sad is I had my quarter life crisis at age 12. Sad.
You're an old soul, Rob.
That's right.
You're an old soul.
But yeah, so we spent a lot of time together. And I don't know if it was necessarily quarantine. And I don't think it really had anything to do with John. But then I just had this like overwhelming feeling that I was wasting my youth. And that I should be out there. And not that I could really do anything during COVID. But I don't know. I just was like, I'm 23. What am I doing? I was about to pack up everything and move to Buffalo and just say, like, be done and start.
Is this crisis what prompted the trip to the beach with the jellyfish?
Yes. I said, okay, I gotta get this stung out of me.
So I think that's completely normal. No matter what your age is, you start just thinking. All you have to do is sit around and think about what's going on. We need so much that we're not getting right now. And it ain't going to be solved by putting pictures of Weekend at Bernie's behind a baseball player in a stadium. We need to be, even just a casual dining experience, even just to begin. You know why we need it, Maddie? We need it because we need to go out and judge other people.
Of course.
That's what we have to do. We have to go to a restaurant.
People watch.
Oh, look at that. Louis Anderson does a bit on his dad. You know, oh, will you look at that? Oh, jeez. Look at that guy. What's the deal with that guy? And it doesn't necessarily work with a car. Although there was a car yesterday driving up here in Maine that was driving 11 miles per hour. And I went, I am not kidding you. I knew a shortcut and I did a, and I'm not exaggerating, I did a quarter mile detour and beat that car coming out of the other side. Yeah. And it was this set of triumph because I know, I just know the way that chip works with old people that drive like that, that at the very last second when they just sense what's happening. And I saw him coming down that road and I went, and I drove by, this is how squirrely I am. I went, ah, die.
Can I do?
It was weird.
A quick tip in for Maddie.
Yes.
Because one thing that she has not mentioned, because of her proximity and because of her skill set, she has done so much at Podcast Village to keep the broadcast going during all of this stuff. And I know because I do some editing for the Village and I'll hear her actually hosting and producing sessions and she does a great job. And I've heard her with literally admirals, generals, ambassadors, brilliant people, greatest minds of our time. But what is the one you couldn't do this week, Maddie?
Well, with the Doro Bush podcast health gig, they are having the one and only McDreamy, Patrick Dempsey, on. And I usually produce their show, but I looked at Rob Ford and I said, you have to take this because I will just melt into myself. And I'll do a terrible job and embarrass myself. It would be a disservice to everybody.
So you thought that McDreamy would be so dreamy that you couldn't handle the
like,
gig.
Like, power doesn't scare me, but I think like attractive celebrity men really like I can't handle myself,
which kills me because I
go ahead.
I would love to have heard the raw tape. He's just Patrick.
Yeah,
we need a pick up.
Remember, that's where she draws the line.
I can't.
Attractive celebrity men.
Yeah.
No problems on this show. We got no problems at all. That's it. We'll take a break and come back with more fun on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Mrs. Z wants candy.
Well, we should have something sweet.
She loves candy.
Airheads, they're sour. Sour Patch. The watermelon flavored ones.
Sweet Tarts.
Nerds. Black Licorice.
Shannon.
Good and Plenty. Chocolate.
A Hershey bar.
Peanut butter cup.
Mary Jane's.
Bit of honey. I ate all of my favorite candies.
Don't worry, Peach. You can stock up on all your favorites through the Mike O'Mara Shopping Center. Click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Thanks, Peach.
Oscar, are we there yet?
Almost, Shannon.
Oscar!
Anyway, welcome back. Next time we do a cocktail show, I'm going to spend some time talking about those driving arrangements up to
I'm watching
Cape Cod.
Real Housewives!
Boy, that's really, he does all that misogynistic crap.
Sure.
And I think it's just a big, big ruse when she's sitting in the back with her headphones and her candy driving up to Cape Cod while he does all the driving.
Them bonbons.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Brought to you by Stamps.com as we slowly adjust to a new normal. We still need to be smart about how we do business. Luckily, there's Stamps.com to make things easier. Thousands of small business owners have discovered the benefits of Stamps.com in recent months and have kept their businesses running while avoiding crowds at the post office, all from their own computers. You simply use your own computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send it. Once your mail is ready, just leave it for your mail carrier, schedule a pickup, or drop it in a mailbox. You get great discounts, too. 5 cents off every stamp, too, and up to 62% off USPS and UPS shipping rates. Right now, our listeners get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in TMOS. That's stamps.com, promo code TMOS. All right. Well, we're all dealing with our own little trips here. I'm having my little moments and, it's nothing compared to what people that have really lived this COVID thing have dealt with. And our heart goes out to anybody, frontliners, teachers that are thinking about, you know, their health when they go back to school, families that are out there trying to figure out whether their kids are going to go.
If she had reported next week. If not,
Rob Spiewak. Maddie, can you hear that? It sounds like Rob's far away.
Yes.
Am I back?
You're back. Your picture looks better now, too. So.
Okay, cool. Just a hiccup. They have made a Loudoun County, where we live up here, they have made a countywide decision that it's going to be all virtual learning, no students, but they still have not told teachers whether or not they need to report to the facility to facilitate the virtual learning. And that's like 2 weeks away. So they still have no idea what's going on up here.
It's very, very frustrating. I want you to tease what you're going to talk about tomorrow on the show.
Okay.
Give me a minute or two about the situation with your daughter, because I think that I'd like to do a deeper dive on that, because
we'll
a lot
get into
of
it.
Parents
yeah.
with college age kids might be dealing with a similar situation.
And it was something that we really wrestled with and argued internally and externally about all summer long, about whether or not Julia would go back to Richmond to attend classes at VCU. And it was determined.
Virginia Commonwealth University.
Virginia Commonwealth useless. VC useless. But the. We sent her down. She decided she was going to do it. All the class, I say 90% of her classes were going to be virtual, but she got college, she got housing. We'll get into the fact why they sort of screwed her over on the housing. She went down, had a disastrous move-in on Saturday, and we've decided to keep her home this fall. And that's her decision as well. And it's so tough on her, especially when you get a text. And you're only allowed to send one parent down for move-in. So Carrie went down with Julia. And
it's just all over the place, isn't it, Rob? Is it kind of all over the place, right, without a really good plan and all that?
I mean, the
gist of it. We'll hear the details.
But I got two texts on Saturday because I got a pocket call from Carrie. And I texted them both. I said, is everything okay? And Carrie, separately, I said this. And Carrie sent back. She says, Julia is a disaster. And Julia just replies back, this place is disgusting. And Carrie said, I watched her burst into tears. And I think that is like a 2 month ramp up to this situation. And Julia's just too smart to play this wrong. I think she tried to sort of fake it and put some reliance on the school that it was going to be handled. And
so
it obviously
the disappointment
wasn't.
Of not being able to do it at home.
Mm-hmm. And I said,
she was so ready to go.
We had
her on the show. She said that, right?
We had two cars packed up, ready to move all the furniture. And she was going to be able to unpack and move in on Saturday, and then this Saturday she was going to go down and classes are going to start. And I said,
so
to Carrie,
it was a CF, as we like to
say. I said,
say,
yeah, and, don't even unpack. I said, just come home. Just come home.
We're going to take a break. I want you to reboot if you can while we're doing that. And when we come back, it's news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. It's time for Regis.
God, I miss you all. Remember that time I was in Times Square? I was walking over to do Millionaire, and I stopped to buy a hot dog from a street vendor. Hot dog cart, you know? He asked me how I wanted it. Regis said, drag it through the garden. Onions and sauerkraut and lots of mustard. So I take a bite, and just then, Harvey Fierstein yells to me from a cab. He screams, hey, Regis, you know, with his voice that does that thing he does, and I get this huge blotch of Gulden's mustard right in my tie. Boy, that Gulden's is good. Yellow mustard. Mayor Koch used to love it on a sandwich. Sometimes Ed Koch and I would get sandwiches and talk about the old days. Wow. And remember when Jack Paar got fired? What a nice guy. But a hothead. He had a temper like Zero Mostel. Oh boy, what a blowhard. I saw Fiddler on Broadway 16 times, but I never stayed to the end. No spoilers, please. I'll watch it someday, or maybe I'll buy the DVD from the TMOA Shopping Center. That's it. Regis loves to click the banner ad at MichaelMaraShow.com. Target and Walmart, they have it all. So much mustard. Gilbert, bring me a towel.
Thank you, Regis. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Well, it had to happen. Sadly, Oscar is gone.
Yeah.
And as you can see, he isn't here.
Sad.
And Shannon needs candy, and Santos is down to skin and bones. You've been generous, but if you want Oscar back, we need a little more. God, you shameless. Please visit the TMOS Patron Society. Your generosity could have him back as soon as next Monday.
Yes, it could happen with your help.
Please join the TMOS Patron Society. We need you to go to MichaelMaraShow.com, seriously, and click the Patron Society banner. Make a pledge if you can. $10 a week, any amount, even a one-time donation, entirely up to you. Because if you're there for us, we'll be here for you. If you can contribute, please do. Your support means the world to us now more than ever. We appreciate you, and we thank you. And be safe, Oscar. We'll podcast for food.
News.
News.
Boo. Oh. strange times.
They are.
Antonio Banderas turned 60 years old yesterday, and he celebrated by contracting COVID-19.
Hey, happy birthday.
He said, quote, "I'm forced to celebrate my 60th birthday in quarantine after having tested positive. I would like to add that I am relatively okay, just a little more tired than usual, but I am confident to recover as soon as possible." He added that he'll take advantage of this isolation to read, write, and rest. Antonio had a benign tumor removed from his back in 2009, and he had a heart attack 3 years ago. But as far as we know, he'd been in good health recently.
Back tumors are the worst. I hate a back tumor.
It's very uncomfortable. Antonio's ex, Melanie Griffith, celebrated her 63rd birthday the day before yesterday, but she didn't share a diagnosis. She posted a photo of a happy birthday sign on the front gate of her house. She said, quote,
"I'm getting flowers, gifts, sweet texts, and FaceTimes from my children, my ex-husbands, and so many dear friends. It's
unclear if Antonio was one of them." I'm giving you both impressions.
I like when the phrase ex-husband is pluralized. I got texts from my ex-husbands.
Mm-hmm. Her other ex-husbands are Don Johnson and Stephen Bauer. Don Johnson, by the way, for all you ladies out there, referred to as the beer can.
Funny that I would remember that as well. Maddie, would you be able to engineer us a session with Antonio Banderas?
Probably, because he's a little bit older, you know, than my target demographic.
Yeah, that would work.
She and he played Puss in Boots. You know, I'm not afraid of Puss in Boots. You know?
That's
not
true.
Dr. McDreamy. Yeah, can't do that.
No.
another celebrity in the news, Sylvester Stallone. I saw this one. He's selling his SUV for more than your house is probably worth. It's a 20-foot, fully customized 2019 Cadillac Escalade.
Hey.
And he wants $350,000 for it. Cadillac, the Escalade Balboa, it's called.
Of course it is.
43-inch UHD LCD, 43-inch TV in it, built into the center divider, and a 12-inch screen for rear-facing passengers with two SIM cards from different carriers to ensure the most reliable connection. The windows have electric curtains, and there are two fully electric rear bucket seats.
Hey, man, electric curtains!
Electric rear bucket seats with leg rests. The car only has 1,000 miles on it. He's unloading it because his, quote, requirement for it has recently changed.
You know, it's amazing.
What does that mean? That he can't afford it anymore? He can afford it.
My Kia Sorento has analog curtains.
Mick.
Hey, Mick. 43
inches. I looked at it. It's a cool car. It'd be the kind of car Oscar would want to drive to Cape Cod. But anywho, President Trump was in the middle of a press briefing yesterday when he was abruptly ushered out of the room. He came back later and announced that there was a shooting outside the White House. I watched a clip of this.
Yeah.
According to later reports, a Secret Service officer shot a man who claimed he had a weapon and was acting erratically. Both the suspect and the officer were taken to local hospitals. Oh, hold on a second.
Oh, must be Kathy.
Yeah, it is. It is. All right.
She took them in three sets.
I know. Hello?
Hi there. Did you call me?
Yeah, I called you. Are you still interested in coming on the show tomorrow? We're on the show right now. Are you still interested in coming on even with my meltdown yesterday?
Yeah, let me call you back in about an hour. I'm getting my toast. I'll call you back when you're done with your show, okay?
Okay, bye-bye. All right. That's a no, probably.
You know what's great? She caught herself. She didn't say, "I'm getting my toes done." She said, "I'm getting my toes. I'll call you back."
Yeah, very good. Oops, I lost everything.
I wonder if they're tennis ball yellow.
What's that?
The polish she chose.
So let me see. So they took President Trump out. They took the Secret Service and the suspect to the hospitals. And the Secret Service is conducting an internal review. A reporter later asked Trump if he was rattled. And he dismissed it, saying, quote, "I don't know. Do I seem rattled?"
Yeah, for the last 4 years you have.
Kathy Griffin later joked, quote, "It wasn't me. I have to turn things off and disconnect things when I'm doing a show."
Can you turn Kathy Griffin off?
Probably not. Anyway, where is it? All right, it's right here.
According to a new survey,
people over 65, this is a survey of over 65 folks, you don't actually become old until you hit 77.
Lie.
And even then, 90% of people say, you're only as old as you feel. They also shared the best things about getting old. And here are 10 of the top answers. 10, not always having to worry about the future. 9, all the discounts. 8, finally having a clear idea of what's important in life. 7, not caring anymore what people think. That's old. 6, wearing clothes for comfort, not style.
Can you finish this list in Regis's voice?
Number 6. Number 5, realizing there's more to life than work. Number 4, finding pleasure in the little things. Number 3, having grandchildren. Number 2, not feeling pressure to do anything you don't want to do. And number 1, yeah, having more free time.
Hey, there, Regis, what about the discounts?
The discounts are crazy. Let's see. We're running super late here. I got time for this. Yeah. 80% of people in a new poll say they're creatures of habit and do the same things over and over again. I bring this list to you, and I normally don't do two lists in a row, and normally I chuck one of them.
Right.
I'm bringing this one on because it was so accurate. I think it was really good. Number 10, eat dinner at a specific time. We do that. We do that almost on a regular basis. Number 9, buy the same foods at the grocery store.
Yeah.
I know the Spiewaks do that, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
By the way, tomorrow, make sure that your wife gets all her... She texted me and said you were not telling the story correctly about Julia and the drop-off. So, and she was included. Ooh. She said it smelled like a nursing home.
Yeah, and well, I when you don't give a detail, that's not telling a story incorrectly. That's omitting a detail because you're going to tell it tomorrow.
Right.
Okay. So, right. I was actually right. And you know what? I think I'm going to take her phone away from her.
All right, what's wrong with the stream, Maddie? Is everything all right? Is everything okay?
Yeah, Pony says yes.
Everything's fine.
Right, is that from Carrie, checking. Too? Help her?
No, Carrie said, what did Carrie say? Hold on a second. Carrie said, Rob isn't telling the story clearly. It smelled like a nursing home, and the room looked like I was dropping her off at rehab.
You see, this is the thing. We were doing a one-minute teaser.
I didn't get a laugh out of your story. I'm sorry.
Because I was doing a one-minute teaser, these were things I was going to reveal tomorrow.
Oh, see, Carrie? Come on. But I'm glad, God bless your wife for listening to the show again.
Yeah, and my mom listening today, too.
Hi,
everybody's
Sharon,
listening.
How are you, sweetie?
And Charlie
thank you
Bernie.
Very much. And Charlie Bernie. Everybody's listening today.
Everybody's, and it's a love-in. It's a hang.
All right, so buy the same food, eat the same breakfast, always use the same brand of toilet paper, shop at the same stores, wear the same outfits, style your hair the same way, have the same bedtime, sit in the exact same spot on the sofa. Hello, Carla.
Yes.
And sleep on the same side of the bed. That's routine.
Well, always. I think that's sort of required, isn't
what
it?
What side of the bed do you sleep on, Rob Spiewak?
If your head is on the headboard, I'm on the left side. Yeah.
Left side. Left, okay.
Left side.
Left side. Which way do you face when you sleep?
face up so Carrie can come at me with the pillow. No. I tend to sleep. I do alternate, but either on my back or on my left shoulder.
Oh, okay. I sleep on my left side, and I'm on the left side of the bed. And that's the way. Maddie, what about you?
I'm on the right side, but I'm the weirdest sleeper. So I sleep on my stomach with the pillow over my head and my feet up. Very strange. It's hard to picture. I understand.
We don't have time.
I know. I'm sorry.
What?
Talk about it later this week.
She's back on Thursday. She's back on Thursday.
Please remind me of that.
It's bizarre.
Trust me.
Thank you.
I shall drop everything.
Thank you. And now a little something. A California Highway Police helicopter rescued an elderly couple who were injured Sunday while trying to flee from an angry cow.
Oh, no.
The pair encountered the cow and her calf while hiking. Apparently, perceiving them to be a threat, the cow began chasing them, causing them to fall and hurt themselves.
Oh, and hurt themselves?
The couple called the cops, who sent out a helicopter. When it arrived, it hovered down and shooed the cow and calf by sounding the helicopter's siren. Then a highway patrol paramedic determined that the couple required helicopter transport.
Yes.
The man and woman were hoisted one by one about 75 feet into the chopper. And then they were flown to a waiting ambulance crew at the trailhead. They were taken to a hospital and treated for injuries. The other paramedic that was working on the case did not think that they needed it. He thought that they were milking it. So sorry. I had to do that. That's my stupid line of the day. We'll take a break.
Mike, that was utterly terrible.
It was. Oh, there was another one I was going to. Oh, they all suck. We'll take a break and come back with the Audio Vault with Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Greetings, friends. It's your kids' teacher here. Remember back in March when you discovered what teachers deal with every day? Remember how grateful you were? Thanks for that. We miss them. We want to teach them. We just don't want them to kill us. So let's stay home for now. And after a long day of virtual learning, get yourself an egg salad sandwich and enjoy the Mike O'Mara Show. Oh, and buy your kids a TMOS t-shirt so they don't show up to Zoom class in their pajamas. Class dismissed.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our bonus packages. Well, here we are, 2-2-2 Tuesday.
Nice.
It's Maddie's favorite day of the week, right,
oh, yeah.
Maddie?
Isn't this? Love Tuesdays.
Why do you love it so? I know. It's because you're only 3 days away from another TMOS bonus show, which happens this very Friday. Unless, of course, you haven't subscribed. What's the matter with you? Were you too busy huffing gasoline to click the link at MikeOmeraShow.com? Say, brainless, didn't you know that for mere pennies, you get full unlimited access to every bonus episode of all time? No commercials, no censorship, no fooling. And now with the zesty zing of wintergreen, yum, bitches. Just click the banner at MikeOmeraShow.com. Be smart. The whole catalog is right there just waiting for you. And a subscription just might cure your bleeding ulcer. It's your passport to the assport. I'm Mike O'Mara. And I guarantee it. And now back to Captain Dave Fogle in the WAVA music machine, already in progress. Yeah! Let's open up the audio vault for today. This is Tuesday, August 11, 2020. Take it away, Rob Spiewak.
One of the many great music video-driven shows on Channel 20, the WAVA music machine. But I digress. Do you think it's okay to trick your children if it's in their good, in their best interest?
Yes.
Yeah, I do too. This is a devious dad's trick. This was on the TikTok. He wasn't dancing, but this is how he tricks them into taking a nap. And as someone who likes devious plans to fool children, I think this is brilliant.
Sometimes I like to turn on movies that are in Spanish, and then my kids look at me all confused and wonder why they can't understand it. And I say, well, I don't know why, but you're probably just tired and you need to take a nap. And then when they wake up from their nap, I take the same movie and put it in English, and they think that they're all better.
Very clever, Daddy. Very clever.
There's lots of clever people out there, Mike, but not a lot of them are at Sturgis this week. Sturgis.
God, don't get me started, please. I was part of that throng.
I know, but you know what? If there's not a pandemic, it's probably okay to all hang out and go to a Smash Mouth concert.
It's a different phase of my life. Not one of the better phases in my life as far as
a lot of okay. There was that Smash Mouth concert where everyone was shoulder to shoulder and they said everyone was obeying.
Yeah, please. For a second there, I wish you would. Just say this. The whole Sturgis thing is, look, it's really kind of a, you know, I never talk about Sturgis a lot. You know, they lose people every year at Sturgis.
Of course, yeah.
They lose like four or five, sometimes mm-hmm. eight, sometimes better, sometimes worse. But it's really just, it's a look at me culture.
Yep.
It's like, look mm-hmm. at me. Look at me, please. I have patches. Something loud and shiny and look at all my patches. Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me.
Yeah. Yeah,
I know, but look, bikers do a lot of good for charity. There's no doubt about that. But ultimately, Jerry loved it's them. Like, yes. You know, I don't know. I could go on.
I remember, I was
part of that culture for a while, so I get it.
I feel if I were to track that culture and you, I think Sturgis almost cured you of that culture.
It may have.
That's the timeline I remember. Anyway, Smash Mouth played a huge concert, and while they said that everyone was obeying all of the guidelines for safety, sure looked like a lot of people without masks in the audience. And the best part is when the lead singer, who remember had a hit record 25 years ago, screamed, F this COVID S. All right. Anyway.
Yeah, not the disease, right? Was he kind of indicating all the stuff people have to go through?
The hoopla. Right? Yeah. So let's go to our man on the street at Sturgis and see what the bikers have to say.
Come here for the riding, the hills and the scenery and... Yeah, it's just like goosebumps.
No, we didn't take any precautions as we normally don't. We think the majority of this situation is manufactured. There's ulterior motives behind it.
Yeah.
So we're not concerned.
Also, the danger of riding with...
Manufactured, you stupid f***. Manufactured. What, the deaths are manufactured?
Yeah, they are.
They're manufactured? You ignorant? Your ignorance is not valid. I'm sorry, God almighty.
I just thought we had to play that.
What kind of minds do we have?
Had
what
to play
kind
that.
Of really? Unbelievable. All right.
Mike, also they manufacture the danger of riding without a helmet. That's all manufactured. So don't wear a helmet, don't wear a mask. Here's something that'll bring a smile to your face, I think. There is a YouTube channel that I follow called There I Ruined It, where they play musical things in the wrong way. You like bluegrass, I like bluegrass. Don't you ever think it would be great if there was a bluegrass cover of the Michael Jackson song Bad?
Your world is mine, I don't tell you right, I just show your face in broad daylight. I'm telling you feel, it gonna hurt your mind.
Mind the backup singers here. It's my favorite part.
I wouldn't say the sky's the limit, and to me it's really true. But my friend, you haven't seen nothing. I just wait till I get through because I'm bad.
Bad.
It works. It does. And it's what I've always said is that if a song is properly written, it can transcend genre. But anyway, the YouTube page is called There I Ruined It. Check out it. There's a lot of good laughs there. And we close with this. You know, Jeopardy is still doing highlight episodes of past ones as they do sort of like a greatest hits, getting ready, right? I just thought this. I saw this on the YouTube. I thought this would be a good episode they could run.
Good luck, players. Here we go. The Land of the Midnight Sun.
Mr. President.
Yosemites, Yosemites.
Oh, no.
Some country.
Be a little more specific.
Thailand.
No, sorry.
China.
That is wrong.
It is what it is. I love China. I get along great with China.
Interesting.
I get along great with Japan. I get along great with Mexico.
We may need to check for brain activity.
I have right now, I have a very, very large brain.
All right, good having you here.
You are stupid.
So look for that tonight on your local ABC affiliate. That's your magic audio vault. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.
That's it. All right, legs up in the air. We have to get going. Thank you, Maddie, for sitting in and doing a fine job.
Thank you.
How about that?
Pony Boy, and we will be back with another episode tomorrow with final clarity on this situation down there at your daughter's college.
Yeah, and maybe Rob Ford will be joining us. Maybe your sister with us.
And we will also dive into the Russian vaccine.
Yes!
What could possibly go wrong?
It tastes
be
delicious.
Special. We'll see you tomorrow with a brand new episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Ball Crusher McGee.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Now get home safely. Good night.
It's been a good day. My God, what a good day for mankind.
Good night. Jerry, gonna...
No. Bye-bye.